You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Why hurt yourself? Paul asked that question of the Corinthians. He was talking about the human body, a creation of God. In this human body, Christ was born, lived, and died for the salvation of the world. In that same human body, recognizable to those who were with him before he died, Christ rose from the dead. In the body of Christ's flesh through death, Paul wrote to the Colossians, God has made you his friends in order to bring you holy, pure, and without a single charge against you into his presence. This is the gospel of God, the good news that Jesus Christ, God's Son, became altogether human for all of us who are altogether human. The good news is that Christ died for the sins of the world, making atonement for all of humanity together and for each one of us human beings individually, body, soul, and spirit, so that people whom God had created might be redeemed, both body and soul, to life eternal. Paul was not one of those Greek philosophers like Plato who treated the human body as if it were a necessary evil, a kind of prison from which the soul must be freed in order to find release from the sinful part of humanity, which is the body. Paul said, the human disposition to be hostile toward God exists in both soul and body. Human passions, wayward desires, selfish ambitions, and all the rest of what he called the sins of the flesh infect both soul and body. Humanity is shot through with sin and needs to be redeemed through the sinless Son of God in all his humanity, so that forgiveness and life might be proclaimed in his name to people all over the earth. Forgiveness and life come to people from God. They are to be found in Jesus the Christ, God's Son and Savior of the world. He died for sin and was raised from the dead in glory. He commands not only respect, but faith and love based on a living hope that reaches right into heaven itself to grasp the living treasure of Christ, who was raised from the dead, both body and soul, as the living Lord of heaven and earth. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, a man's body is not to be used for immoral purposes, but to serve the Lord. God raised the Lord from death, and he will also raise us by his power. Our bodies are parts of the body of Christ. Are you going to let your body be used for purposes that are immoral? Why hurt yourself? The man who commits immorality sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price. So use your bodies for God's glory. God refuses to treat your body as mere dirt. Why do you go on treating it that way? Your body has been given to you by God as an essential part of your humanity. In its present form, often afflicted by physical and other ills, your body is the first evidence of your mortality. That body of yours is an integral part of your identity. It is the inheritor of God's promise of immortality, which includes everything that belongs to you, as it did in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who brought this immortality to light through the gospel. If God thinks so much of you as to forgive your sins and to renew your life, both body and soul, with the purpose of resurrection to life eternal, why hurt yourself by abusing your body? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price. Use your bodies for God's glory. Many people neglect their bodies. Alcoholics know. Overdrinking is not good. They drink anyway. Everybody knows that cigarettes are harmful. People smoke on. Drug abusers know that the habit destroys, but they go on looking for new highs from new substances. People eat and smoke their way to heart attacks. As Time magazine pointed out in October of last year, the United States has indeed become a nation of believers in the virtues of exercise. But a new study from the federal government reports that most citizens confine their practice to nothing more strenuous than pushing a shopping cart around a supermarket on Saturday morning, or shoveling down a pint of ice cream while doing laps between the kitchen and the TV set. In spite of all the emphasis upon bodily fitness, all the data of the 1980s show that the same proportion of men and women are overweight today as they were a decade ago. Young people spend an average of 13 hours a week in sports or other exercise. They spend 3 or 4 times that many hours watching TV and playing video games. The Surgeon General of the United States keeps emphasizing smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and complicates pregnancy. Smoking by pregnant women may result in fetal injury, premature birth, and low birth weight. The Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking is dangerous to your health. Of course, someone will point out that one of the best-known advocates of jogging sustained a heart attack while he was jogging. Exercise is not the answer to the ills of humanity, but it certainly would be good for a lot of us to engage in more physical exercise just for the benefit of our bodies. I could do more of that, and so could you. Why don't we? One typical high-risk woman admits, I know what's good for me and what's not. I understand. But I still go home and have my chocolate cake, prime rib, and all the fatty foods. Is that the way it is with most of us? We know what's bad for us, but we do it anyway. We know what we ought to do, but we just can't get around to doing it. St. Paul said the same thing of himself. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. In one TV commercial for a nearby physical fitness center, a lithe young woman, just finishing a workout with an aerobics class, stops in front of a mirror and purrs, I love my body. God doesn't want us to worship our bodies, but he certainly expects us to take good care of them. They're temples of the Holy Spirit. You have to live in that body for the rest of your life. Your body is a marvelous piece of equipment God gave you. As a follower of Christ, Paul urged people to show respect for their bodies and to treat them as the temples they are. Your body is not just a piece of useless flesh. It is your body redeemed by Christ, along with everything else that belongs to you. When Christ lives in you by faith, as he does for everyone who has come to know the power of his redemption and resurrection, that body of yours becomes a temple of God's Holy Spirit who lives in you. He's been given to you by God for a purpose. When it comes right down to it, redeemed by Christ as you are, you do not really belong to yourself, but to God. He bought you with a great price, not with gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood of his own Son, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Use your body for God's glory. Do you think that Paul would have written anything like that before he came to know Christ as his personal Savior? Christ makes all the difference in the world to people who have come to know him as their Redeemer and the guarantor of life eternal. They begin to look upon everything in a different light. Because Christ is in everything, he takes up residence in your heart by faith and makes your blood bounce with a new love. The old cholesterol of hatred, selfishness, envy, backbiting, and bitterness begins to disappear. And the heart of life takes on a new pulse. That physical body of yours is a remarkable gift from a loving father. It provides you the equipment you need to live this life. Sure, the body as you know it is a temporary dwelling place. Its beauty fades. Its strength wanes. Illness or accident can strike it down in a moment's notice. The body is perishable and very vulnerable. But that body of yours is the tent of the precious spirit God has given you. It's not only your spirit living in that body when you come to know Christ. The Spirit of God Himself lives there. Your body is a temple housing God's Holy Spirit. In that temple, God meets you constantly. He's not confined to temples made with hands. In that house of yours, the body by which people recognize you, Jesus Christ Himself dwells by faith through His Spirit, and in that body His Spirit sustains both faith and love that make life worthwhile. Why do so many people keep hurting themselves by treating their bodies like junk? Temples are not junk, not when God lives there. It doesn't show much love for God to treat His temple like junk. People don't love themselves very much when they neglect their bodies. They also don't show very much love to those around them. If they cared more for their loved ones, they would take better care of themselves. For many long years, the seat belts in my car hung there like a useless ornament. I didn't think I needed them. Other people might need them, but I didn't, because I considered myself a good driver. So far, I've never been in a situation where I actually needed seat belts. Gradually, the evidence became overwhelming, however, that seat belts are a good thing, in spite of all the protests about the mandatory use of seat belts as an invasion of individual freedom. The state in which I live passed a seat belt law, mainly under pressure from the automobile makers, who had never been much in favor of seat belts either, until they foresaw another and more stringent law on the horizon if they did not support seat belts. Tomorrow I could be in an accident, and seat belts might save my life. I began to listen to my family, and now I use a seat belt when I drive my car. Even though there may be rare instances when having your seat belt on prevents you from getting out of the car in the event of a severe accident, it still makes sense to use seat belts. It makes sense to take care of the body God has given you. It makes sense from your point of view, from your family's point of view, and from the point of view of God. That body of yours is God's property by right of redemption. You can ignore Him, of course. It's your privilege. You can wreck your body with senseless disregard, just as you can make a mess of your life, subjecting your body to the immoral pressures that surround people on every hand. You can do that. But it certainly does not show much respect for God. He redeemed you both body and soul, and He wants to make you His friend with faith in the Son whom He sent to redeem your life from destruction. God does not make useless creations. He's not the creator of junk. God made you and everyone for a purpose. Each of us has a special mission in life. He's given you something that He has given to no one else: your own body. You may wish that your ears were smaller or your nose less prominent, but it's your body and no one else's. St. Paul said He's bought you with a great price. Use your body for God's glory. The Lord has bought us expensively. We're not to live our lives cheaply. Jesus is Lord because of the price He paid for each one of us. Because of Him, we can look forward to a great event, which St. Paul described as the redemption of our bodies. What he was talking about was the day for which all of creation waits on tiptoe, the disclosure of the sons and daughters of God in the glory that shall be revealed. Our bodies will play a great role on that day. It makes sense to treat our bodies as the gifts of God they are. At its best and greatest, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Let Him adorn your life with faith and love. To keep that temple neat, clean, attractively groomed and dressed, as pleasant to look at as possible. It makes sense to take care of God's property. You are not your own. He has paid the price for you, and Christ lives to remind you that you belong not to yourself, but to God. He bought you with a great price. Don't you know that? Can't you see that for your own sake, as well as for the sake of others around you, it makes sense to treat your body as the temple it is, not only of your own spirit, but of the Spirit of God Himself? Why hurt yourself? Why sin against your own body? Why neglect or destroy what God gives? Why not show respect for what God loves? Why act like an idiot, hurting only yourself? Don't you know that your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God Himself? You do not belong to yourself, but to God. He bought you for a price. Use your body for God's glory. Amen.